We're talking with Steve Thompson, Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Steve, we're getting down closer. It looks like maybe starting to head around the back stretch and head toward home on this legislative session for 2021. A lot of work's been done. We've had a couple of deadlines already now. What's out there that you're still watching a great deal?
Yes, Ron, we're in that part of the session where some of the big stuff has been set aside and we're down to a much smaller number. I think we're around 800 bills left, started with well over 3,000, and so we're able to really focus a little deeper now on the things that are out and some things that may have been okay but imperfect we can work on a little bit more. I know there's still multiple bills relating to rural broadband alive and working through the process. That's an issue we fought for a few years, and I'm afraid we're going to be fighting for a few more, because the bottom line there is it just takes piles and piles and piles of money, more than we have access to here on the state level. But we're trying to set the foundation to make that as good a situation as possible. And so if we would ever get a federal infrastructure bill or some sort of other major spending initiative, we want the right framework to invest that here in the state in our rural areas. And there's still three or four very productive pieces of legislation out there that are not a finished product yet, but they've made most of the major deadlines. And so we're going to hopefully work with several groups really to fine-tune those. And another one that we did not get to work enough on in the early stages of the session that we're focused on now has to do with the trespassing laws and addressing a loophole in the law that on certain pieces of property, it would create an opportunity for someone to be on your property without permission and still not guilty of trespassing. And so we fixed a big chunk of that about 10 years ago, and we're going to try to fix the last step in that this year. We're optimistic that several of our partners are working together on that. Sales tax, ag sales tax, whether it be in trying to address a new wrinkle that the tax commission threw at us through the county assessors to implement some new verification requirements that in some cases, you know, one size doesn't fit all. We have a lot of people in production ag that file their taxes different ways. And so trying to make sure that all of our producers are still qualify for that. And a more regional thing in eastern, southeastern Oklahoma, the timber industry. There were several pieces of commercial logging equipment that did not qualify in Oklahoma but do in other states. And therefore, we don't really sell many of those products in Oklahoma. You go across the border to buy a $500,000 piece of equipment because you can buy it without sales tax in Arkansas or Texas. And so we'd like to help some local business folks in southeast Oklahoma out. So that bill has really, really gained legs this year. It's been out there 2 or 3 years. And we really think that this year might be the year that we can get that done. So and then nuisance lawsuits. We worked on that before, made some progress. There's a really good bill out there about that would protect operations from critical industries like agriculture, oil and gas, others, from being sued by municipalities outside of city limits, as so long as they're operating with in accordance of the laws and rules of the state and the county. It means you can't sue them for a nuisance. And we've seen Oklahoma has been really, really good on that level. But you know, you look coast to coast, we've seen those lawsuits in other places for operations in agriculture that were abiding every state law on the books, but still got hit with a quote-unquote nuisance lawsuit for millions of dollars. And so we know that time is coming. There are lawyers all around the country looking for the right case for that, and we're just trying to build as big a safety net as we can when our producers get hit with that.
I know that you paid a lot of attention to the various education bills that have been out there, including this bill that would tackle exactly how quick that money might follow the student. Where are we on that?
That bill's passed out of the House, and it's waiting consideration in the Senate, and that's not one we really engage with from a Farm Bureau perspective, but we have watched very closely, and it's been quite controversial when it came across the floor. But we were proud. A good friend, Representative Kyle Hilbert, had presented that and did a really good job in answering questions, and we feel like that there was quite a bit of concern about that. But I think when folks dig deeply into that, he's done a really good job of explaining how that would work. And so we're very much an interested observer in that, but we think that the Senate still has some work to do on that, and we'll keep watching to see what happens with that in the Senate.
On the budget, what are you hearing right now? Obviously, we're getting down to that point where they're getting serious on negotiations.
You know, the budget has been, as I guess always, is sort of a roller coaster ride. You know, they joked last year that they had to write multiple budgets between the COVID and economic shutdown and other kind of things. Well, this year it's been almost the reverse of that. When we get started coming after the holidays, the picture was pretty bleak. But every time they get an updated estimate, it's gotten better and better and better. And knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, but we think that there's going to be a small surplus out there that they can make another investment in the rainy day fund, because we know how cyclical things can be. And so it's always good to put an investment there we can. And we're very optimistic about our chances to help the Department of Agriculture and meat processing facilities around the state. They're really in need of hiring some additional state inspectors. We have some processors and some producers that could expand what they're doing just today if we could hire a few more inspectors, but the Department of Ag simply doesn't have the budget for that. So we're optimistic that there may be just enough to get a few more folks hired there. And we don't want anybody to forget, you know, the need with our extension service, you know, in all 77 counties. OSU does a great job with that, and we want to make sure that, you know, that is not taken for granted. Sometimes you have something that's been there so long and performed so effectively, it kind of gets overlooked. But, you know, the last decade has been sort of tough on them financially, and we really need to try to make an investment there if at all possible. So we're going to keep communicating those priorities. But the budget's sort of coming together, and I think at the top levels they've had some progress made there, and we hope to know some details in the coming days.
That money, that's just almost remarkable given all the concerns we've had regarding the COVID pandemic year of kind of everybody sitting on their hands. That's got to make you feel pretty good.
It is. I 6 months ago, I would have told you that we had to brace for just a real disaster. And it's shown how resilient, you know, Oklahoma has been and the economy through this very challenging time. You know, we talk a lot about how ag producers really never stopped during that, and that has shown through with the economic conditions. And we're always keeping an eye on the price of oil and gas. And while that's not where we'd like it to be, it's not as bad as it was 6 months, 10 months ago. And so we could always be doing a little bit better, but it's truly remarkable how resilient Oklahoma has been, and it's a testament to farmers and ranchers and business folks around the state that have stayed committed to what they're doing and keeping the bills paid and keeping the tax revenue up.